We did it. We made it.
We are here. And man, I'm scared.
What's with the neighbors? Why? For what?
Because I told listeners last week I would drink this concoction that the Hellfire Club drank. And hey, I think I have the right one.
I was dropping Alice off at my in-laws, and I was like, yeah, my, you know, Bree's going to be drinking this drink on the podcast. And I couldn't remember what it was, and I didn't have my phone. And so that's why Alice asked you.
It's called Scalethine, not Scathlene. It's Scalethine, I think.
Yeah. But he, my father-in-law looked it up, and he was like, that sounds gross.
It does.
So what is in it? Because it's more than just butter.
Yeah.
Correct?
So, yeah, there were a couple different drinks that they drink. There's, like, one with, like, milk and, like, honey and cinnamon. Yeah. That one actually sounded like a pleasant, like, holiday drink, which I guess is, like...
Yeah, that's what I thought.
That's, like, a common, like, drink to drink over the holidays, apparently. This
yeah,
one,
that was the one he read to me.
This does not have milk in it. This has water, brown sugar,
water,
bourbon, pepper, and butter.
Okay, that doesn't sound bad.
The butter has separated. I don't know if I used the wrong kind. I know.
I
legit just stirred it because I pulled a straw out of this cup over here and I just stirred it and it's already separated. I'm just going to have to. I think you probably have to shoot it. But I don't know where all of our shot glasses are. There's a gnat in here.
In your drink? That's gross.
No, in the room. I mean, that would probably be appropriate if there was a gnat in the drink. And I probably wouldn't even know because there's pepper in it. So the pepper is what threw me off the most. I was
really?
Kind of excited about it when I started making it because it was like this brown sugar and butter mixture. And I was like, ooh, this is going to be really good. And like I was smelling it as I was making it. And like I threw the water in and it still didn't smell bad. It smelled like a very tame, kind of like a little sweet. And then the pepper, actually, it smelled really good with the pepper. But then I added the bourbon in. And I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be Irish whiskey. So it's not supposed to be bourbon. Bourbon is different.
Yeah.
Tastes different. I was like, hoo, 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 and I felt drunk the minute I sniffed it. So I'm not going to shoot this whole glass. But
yeah,
I'm gonna try it. Can I try it now?
Yeah.
I'm dying to try it.
Try it.
All right. It's not green. I did promise green, but it's not green. God damn it, that's good.
Is it?
Yeah, and I'm really mad that I like it because I was like, I'm gonna be really embarrassed if I oh my god. Woo. Woo.
Okay. So for this week's question for Bree, I asked Bree to make a emo punk rock song about her story. So who wants to go first? And I also did it. Do
I'll
you want to
go
first? Okay.
Yeah.
You go first.
Because mine's awful.
Okay.
All right. I got to remember how I did the tone, the pitch and everything.
When I was a young boy,
my father.
I can hear them.
Here it
goes.
At
first, I thought it was like a cartoon that I was hearing.
Nope, that's Natalie doing her little squeal. All right. Let me slip my wrist real quick.
Good job, bug.
All right, here you go. Sorry, okay. Natalie won. That's why they were squealing. They're playing
Oh,
Uno.
I see.
All right, here we go. Late December, back in Denver, the falling snow reminds me of the time that my heart wasn't bleeding. I have to go home, and it's so cold. Stopping to the bar to numb the pain that stops me from breathing. Late December, back in Denver. It's so cold outside, but this 9-to-5 stops me from leaving. This dead-end job may pay the rent, but it just feels like screaming. It's finally last call that I remember all the presents from late December. Late December, back in Denver. It'll pertain to my story.
Brie.
Only works so because good. I drink.
That was so good. And much longer than I expected it to be.
Well, I was like, it has to make sense. And it wasn't making any sense. So I had to make it long. And I was like, ooh, cool. We have a month in the year. Cool. We have something about the weather. Cool. We have something about numbing the pain. And something about, you know, wanting to die and stuff. Anyway,
I don't want to share mine now. Yours was so good.
I probably spent more time writing that than my story.
Oh my gosh, I spent like
my story's
maybe
not long
3 minutes on mine.
I'm so excited to hear yours.
Okay, I saw a cartoon last night about a time in my life. March of 2020, a vampire came to sight. He was from 1897 to recruit a young boy to heaven. Johnny was to witness the death of JFK. There was chaos and panic, blood and tears were shed that day. I saw a cartoon last night. There was blood and tears that were shed that day.
That was good. I'm so excited to hear your story. That was good. You're welcome, guys. The hardest we've ever worked on one of these questions. All thanks to Amy. Oh man. Okay. That was pretty awesome. Man, my story is gonna be more awesome. Do you know why? Because this drink is hitting me. It's gonna hit me really hard.
Great.
It's a good thing my story is short.
Probably.
Okay. I'm not sure if we've read this one. I want to say we've read it this one, but I'm going to read it again, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's titled, Bring Out Your Dead. Note to self.
Yes.
Your neighbors are not amused when you dress in your Renaissance outfit and push your wheelbarrow down the street and yelling, Bring Out Your Dead at 7 p.m.
Oh.
I didn't remember if I'd seen that one or if I'd actually like heard us tell that one. I think you told that one before.
Maybe, but I know
not,
that I used,
you know,
yeah, up in Alaska at the DA's office, for like a week, I had to help get everyone's papers that needed to be shredded at the end of the day. And I would walk around and be like, bring out your dad. So we had to shred papers. They're like, okay,
bring out your dad.
I do absolutely love that. Okay. So are you ready for my story?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I'm after that intro. Yeah.
Gotta get our foil caps on. So.
Whoa. Are we doing a conspiracy theory?
I am doing a conspiracy theory episode. I haven't done one in 42 episodes.
Oh, 42. Snap. By the way, guys, we do conspiracy theories. If you have a crazy conspiracy theory that you've heard of and want us to look into, let us know, because we really like conspiracy theories. They're fun. And
yeah,
you know,
they're fun.
Yeah.
I always like to choose to believe in them for a minute.
I highly believe that Taylor Swift is not who she says she is.
I do. That's because you have a vendetta against Taylor Swift.
I really don't, though.
You don't.
Josh asked me the other day, he's like, do you really hate her? And I was like, you know, I was like, I want to really bad. So, yeah.
But I don't have a reason to.
I have no reason to. She's a successful woman in female singing and stuff, you know. She's an inspiration. She sucks. All right. Hell yeah. Okay. Also, guys, if you obviously you're not watching, so just so you know, Amy is wearing a tinfoil hat.
Yes, I am.
You can't be too careful. So put your tinfoil hats on and buckle in for this wild ride that she's about to take us on.
Are you ready?
Yes.
So the first one, King Charles III, is he a vampire? For years, rumors have been going around on how King Charles III is a shape-shifting reptilian. This is, however, a crazy theory. The truth is that he's actually a vampire. So the story started, and I got this from Reddit. So the story started when it was revealed that King Charles was related to the 5th century Romanian prince and suspected vampire Vlad the Impaler.
Impaler.
For those who don't know, Vlad the Impaler was the inspiration behind Bram Stoker's famous 1897 novel, The Dracula. This ruthless prince, also known as Vlad Tepes and Vlad the Third Dracula, was the epitome of evil and was known for his cruelty towards his enemies, whereby he did many horrendous things, such as impaling them on stakes.
Impaling.
Oh, am I impaling? Thank you. The impaler, impaling them on stakes. And in 1462, following a battle, Vlad left a field filled with thousands of impaled victims. More than 530 years later, in 1998, King Charles III found out that he was related to this twisted Romanian ruler. He is, in fact, his great-grandson, 16 times removed, through the consort of George V and Queen Mary.
What?
A genealogical tree in the British Chronicles written by David Hughes even supports this claim. And when King Charles III was asked about it, he simply joked, stating, "The genealogy shows I am a descendant of Vlad the Impaler. So I do have a bit of stake in the country." In 2017, King Charles was reported to have been offered the honorary title of Prince of Transylvania. Yeah, Transylvania. A region located in the central Romania that has been associated with vampires for centuries. Through the Prince of Wales Foundation, King Charles has done plenty of charity work in Transylvania, especially in the fields of sustainability development, conservation, and farming systems. Because of his strong involvement in the region, the mayor of the city of Alba, Lulita, has proposed to grant King Charles the title of Prince of Transylvania as recognition for being a prominent ambassador of the Transylvania region all over the world.
Ooh.
And if that wasn't weird enough, in 2011, King Charles even promoted a television show inspired by his obsession with Romania's Transylvania called Wild Carpathias. Still not convinced? Well, if you do a bit of research online, you'll find that this isn't just some joke. King Charles now owns several properties in the Romania region of Transylvania, in Viscuri, in the Zalvolnuri something valley, in the something else, in the something else, in the Breb. Yes, that's right. He owns 4 properties in Transylvania and considers it his second home.
Oh.
So, Romania Tours, the Romania Tour store has even stated, it's no secret that King Charles is very fond of Romania, especially of the Transylvania region. It was after his first visit to Transylvania in 1998 that he found out about his connection to Vlad the Impaler, and a connection that he apparently is very proud of.
Oh, okay.
But these Transylvania's ties do not end there. A great-great-grandmother of King Charles' late mother, Queen Elizabeth II, Hungarian Countess Claudia something Reddy, was also born and raised in Transylvania in the 19th century. So, next time someone tries to tell you he's a reptile, you can now put them straight. King Charles III is not a blood-sucking reptile, shape-shifting lizard. He is simply just a vampire.
He's a vampire. I love vampires.
I know, me too. There was also, I saw another thing saying that he has like some sort of disease that like is in his genes that makes him super pale, and that's why he's super pale. But I was like, I don't like that.
Like albino, like he's albino?
Not albino. It's like something, an iron deficiency or something like that. So, second
one. Interesting. I love that. Okay.
Yes. COVID-19 and 5G.
Oh, snap.
We're going there. Okay. We're getting polycharged.
We're four years out of it. It's okay to talk about it now. We're good.
So, probably no event since 9/11 has spawned more controversy thinking that probably no event has spawned more controversy thinking I don't know than the COVID-19 pandemic. There are more conspiracies about the origin of the virus, as well as basically every government reactions. Many people even believe doctors are lying about the COVID-related deaths, blaming the virus for deaths with other causes, which I believe.
Yeah, me too.
A lot of people, like, instead of just doing, like heart attack. Some more. Yeah. Where was I? Blaming the virus for the deaths with other causes. A distrust of Big Pharma fermented for years by alternative medicine advocates like Kevin Trudeau. He's a best-selling author of Natural Cures That They Don't Want You to Know About, a textbook conspiracy title, if there ever was one. Also fed into the conspiracies about medical treatment and vaccinations. One of the odder conspiracies mixes long-standing fear of the 5G wireless technology with fears about the virus. According to the COVID 5G conspiracy, electromagnetic frequencies from cell phone towers undermine the immune system, making people sick with COVID. Researchers reported in 2020 in the Journal of Media International Australia. Another conspiracy theory claims that the COVID-19 vaccines contain tracking chips that connect to the 5G networks so that the government, or possibly billionaires and the vaccine philanthropist, whatever, however you spell it, Bill Gates, can survey everyone's movements. I don't believe that one.
I've heard. I mean, I don't either. I feel like it'd be really hard to do that, and really expensive. Like the chips, also,
yeah.
And like, also, think about how expensive that would be. Yeah.
Why does Bill Gates want to know
when I'm pooping? I went, Bill Gates. You knew that, though. I did wash my hands also with soap.
The one thing I do believe is that doctors just chalking up some deaths to COVID-19 instead of, you know, other reasons. But I don't think that, I think they weren't doing it purposefully.
It was, well, a lot of them were saying that it was stuff related to like insurance, like because insurance would pay for things if they said it was for COVID, or they would pay more if they put a diagnosis code as COVID. I've heard that from multiple people in the medical field.
I believe that. That makes sense. Because, I mean, the doctors...
Because the government was paying for everything during COVID.
Yeah, and the doctors want things covered for their patients. Yep. So,
like, oh, heart attack? Ooh, you broke your ankle? Cool, COVID.
Yeah. You tripped. Huh, weird. You tripped and broke your ankle.
You fell right into COVID.
You fell right into COVID. Okay. So this one is on JFK. On November 2nd, 1963, President John F. Kennedy was in a motorcade in Dallas, Texas, where he was struck by two bullets. He died at 46 years old. I might cover this one eventually.
I would love to hear it because I've always been curious about this one.
Yeah. Lee Harvey Oswald was arrested for the assassination of the president, and 2 days later, Oswald was killed on live television. The Warren Commission was then created to investigate the incident and concluded that Oswald acted alone. However, some believe there's more to the story. There are theories that the CIA hired Oswald because of the president's reaction to communism and the Bay of Pigs invasion. I don't know what the Bay of Pigs invasion is. Others believe that the mafia, Cuba, or the Soviet Union were involved in the assassination. When videos of the incident were released, people claimed Oswald's location made it impossible for him to have killed the president. That's all I got on that one. I didn't want to cover it a whole lot because I really, really want to dive into that one.
Dude, I would love to hear that. You should dive into it sooner than later.
Yes, ma'am. I will do that. I have another one that I've been working on. But I
appreciate you calling me ma'am.
Yes, of course. Okay, so this is Johnny Gosch. And I've never heard of this one. I thought it was kind of interesting. On September 5th, 1982, Johnny Gosch, a 12-year-old, vanished without a trace from Des Moines, Iowa, while on his morning newspaper run. Without any evidence or leads, the case went cold and has remained unsolved. But there have been a number of conspiracy theories about what happened to him. Some people believe that he was forced into a child sex ring that was operating in Nebraska. His mother, Noreen, received pictures of a man tied up in a basement, leading her to believe that the theory was true, though the man in the picture could not be proved to be Johnny Gosch. And there was no other evidence to prove that theory. In 1997, Noreen said her now grown up son visited her with his captor. She said he told her he was all right and that he was still alive, igniting even more conspiracies that he was still alive, but police could not corroborate the mother's story. Finally, there's a conspiracy that the White House reporter Jeff Gannon was Johnny Gosch because they share similar political characteristics. And that theory was never proved.
Okay.
I don't know. It's not a super popular one, but I thought it was interesting. You see my hair, how it's like sticking up like that?
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know.
just slightly. Oh, now I see it even more.
What?
Maybe it's like staticky.
It doesn't feel staticky though. Okay. So this is Ong's Hat in New Jersey. Ong's Hat is an abandoned town in the Pine Barrens of New Jersey. The town dates from the 17th and 18th centuries, but the population dwindled dramatically in the 20th century, ultimately making it a ghost town. Some believe that the town became populated again a few decades later. In 1980, a pamphlet was published saying that Ong's Hat was home to a group of people that practiced interdimensional travel. The pamphlet claimed that the group started when two scientists from Princeton University moved into the abandoned town and eventually made, quote-unquote, the egg, which allowed people to travel to alternate universes. According to the pamphlet, the machine transported the entire group to a different dimension to escape police invasion. The police spread throughout this theory spread throughout the internet. Although some people have come forward to claim that they are part of this group at Ong's Hat, there is no evidence that this group exists. I believe it.
I love that. That is so cool. Where is Ong's Hat?
Ong's Hat in New Jersey.
Okay. I'm going to look that up. That's
O-N-G.
Cool.
O-N-G.
Okay.
O-N-G.
Yeah. O-N-G.
O-N-G.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my Johnny gosh. Okay, so this is my last one. The Simpsons.
Oh, yes.
So, while it retains a devoted fan following across the globe, while it retains a devoted fan base following across the globe, it is also kept strangely relevant in recent years, thanks to the uncanny pattern of headlines that suggest only one thing: the Simpsons can predict the future. Here are some examples of why it is thought the writer for The Simpsons may actually be a time traveler. In 2008, The Simpsons showed Homer trying to vote for Barack Obama in the U.S. general election, but a faulty machine changed his vote. 4 years later, a voting machine in Pennsylvania had to be removed after it kept changing people's vote to Barack Obama to one of his Republican rivals, Mitt Romney. So, I also have never watched The Simpsons. Like,
yeah, me neither.
Actively. Like, I've seen, like, clips of it, but yeah. I'm not a Simpson fan at all. So, right. I had to look all these up.
Yeah.
Okay. An episode from the 1990 titled Itchy and Scratchy and Marge showed Springfieldians protesting against Michelangelo's statue of David being exhibited in the local museum, calling the artwork obscene for its nudity. The satire of their censorship came true in July 2016 when Russian campaigners voted on whether to clothe a copy of the Renaissance statue that had been set up in central St. Petersburg.
Oh my God, people grow up.
They just like put pants on him.
Yeah, that would be so much weirder, guys. Just let him be naked.
So awkward. The Simpsons parodied entertainers Siegfried and Roy in the 1993 episode. During the episode, the magicians are vigorously mauled by a trained white tiger while performing in the MGM casino. In 2003, Roy Horn of Siegfried and Roy was attacked during a live performance by Montecore, one of their white tigers. Roy lived but sustained several injuries in the attack. Have you ever seen those guys?
Mm-mm.
They do, like, well, not anymore, but in the early 2000s and late 90s, they did, like, performance acts with this white tiger at the MGM casino in Vegas.
That's cool. Well, yeah. Not anymore.
Yeah. So, 1994, lunch lady Doris used assorted horse parts to make lunch for students at the Springfield Elementary. 9 years later, the Food Safety Authority of Ireland found horse DNA in over one-third of beef burger samples from the supermarket and ready meals, and pig in 85% of them.
Whoa.
The Simpsons introduced the idea of a watch you could use as a phone in the episode aired in 1995, nearly 20 years before the Apple Watch was released.
Okay, and that one's not that extreme, because it's not there that are lots extreme. Of like spy movies that would be like, hey, yeah. blah, 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 yeah. on your left.
I agree with you. In the episode Lisa's Wedding, we discovered that librarians have been replaced with robots in the Simpsons universe. More than 20 years later, robotic students from the University of Alberth built a prototype for a walking library robot, while scientists in the Singapore have been testing their own robot librarians. That's also not that extreme, but it's kind of specific for it to be librarians. In the episode When You Dish Upon a Star, that originally aired in 1998, Ron Howard and Brian Grazer produce a script Homer pitches. The script is being produced at the 20th Century Fox, and a sign in front of the studio's headquarters reveals that is a diversion of Walt Disney and Company. And on December 14th, 2017, Disney purchased 21st Century Fox for an estimated $52.4 billion, acquiring Fox's film studio, 20th Century Fox. In addition to a bulk of its television production assets, the media conglomerated also have access to popular entertainment properties like X-Men, Avatar, and The Simpsons. In the 2000 episode Bart to the Future, that show goes next level on its prediction talent when it name drops Donald Trump as having been president of the United States. The episode, and that was in 2000.
And that's a big deal, because that was not even like a thought to be for Donald Trump to be president in 2000.
Correct. The episode explores what Bart's life would have been like if when he got older. It features Lisa being president. While in the Oval Office, we hear her say, "As you know, we've inherited quite a budget crunch from President Trump." In 2017, Trump became the 45th president of the United States. In 2012, Lady Gaga performed for the town in Springfield, hanging in midair. 5 years later, she flew off the Houston NRG Stadium roof in real life to perform her Super Bowl halftime show. So
that
was
a great show.
The 2012, that was Lady Gaga in The Simpsons.
Okay.
Doing hanging midair, and then she actually did it real life
in the Super Bowl. Later. Yeah. That was a really good show.
Yes. In 2024, Apple releases its virtual reality headset, the Vision Pro. Social media quickly filled up the public's display of people using the headset. It pointed out that the sights are similar to the 2016 Simpsons episode, because they also did that in The Simpsons, which also is not very far off, I feel like.
Yeah. Technology evolves. We all know it will.
Yeah. The episode was titled Friends and Family, Mr. Burns. The title was called Friends and Family. Mr. Burns hires the Simpsons family to be his virtual reality family, and they all use a VR headset that looks like the Vision Pro. This is my last one. The end of the episode, it's all the same thing. The end of the episode fast forwards a few years showing everyone in Springfield now wearing the headset, leading them to run into lampposts and fall into manholes. And that is my conspiracy episode, everybody.
That was a good one.
Thank you.
Oh, man, The Simpsons. See, hearing all that stuff just makes me want to, I think they did stuff with 9/11, too.
I believe they did, yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
This was very hot, by the way.
Do you ever think that maybe, like Lady Gaga already saw that episode, and she's like, I'm going to blow people's freaking minds, and there's going to be, like, everybody's going to blow up on the internet because I'm going to do this. Because The Simpsons gave me this idea, and I'll make everybody think The Simpsons predicts the future.
Actually, I wouldn't put it past anybody. Also, maybe that was Trump, too. He was like,
that's a good idea. Okay, I should be president.
That's a good idea. I don't know
if he broke the economy. I feel like COVID did. And, yeah.
COVID
anyway,
definitely broke the economy.
Try not to talk about politics on this, but, you know. Anyway. Sorry. It's the year. Wait, is it the year? Yes, it is the year. Okay, anyway.
Yeah, if we vote for president this year.
Yep. All right.
Sorry if you hear me crunching. It's because I'm turning.
Are you eating candy?
I'm playing with this.
Oh, it sounds like you're opening like a Ferrero Rocher. I feel like such a fatty for saying that.
No, it's okay.
I hear someone throwing away foil. You got a Ferrero Rocher in there?
It's okay.
You got some Hershey Kisses?
At work, when someone's like cooking something in the microwave, I always say, like, it smells like chicken noodle soup, or it smells like cooked rice. And like, I'm almost always right. So it's okay.
We women got good senses of smell.
We know what's up.
Alrighty. So this week,
I want to hear your story. Your story last week was so good.
Thank you. I had so much fun with it. Okay, I didn't even get to talk to you about it.
No, okay. It took like 2 weeks, but it all came together.
I was trying, like, all week, I was working on my story, and I'm like sitting there writing all these legends, and I'm like, exchanging out words for stupid other words, and I'm like, just have adjectives and nouns and verbs on my brain, and I'm like, this would be a really cool Mad Lib.
Yeah, because they're short.
Like, yeah, and I was like, oh my god, I'm gonna make Mad Libs. So I think anytime I do a legend or have like little short tidbits like that, because a lot of my stories have stuff like that, I'm just gonna make a Mad Lib out of it, and then I'll tell the real thing. And if I can remember, I will try to post on Facebook, because all those were other people's answers. The only answers, your answer, which was the one with the ball of golf clubs, that was Amy's answer, guys. And then I did the girl's answer, which was the Aurora one, and the dog feeder.
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was, and now I understand what you're asking. Okay, for example, everybody, not for example, but for reference, Brie was sent me, like, she's like, I need your answers for this for a Mad Lib. And I was just like... I know what a noun is, but you're like, you're asking me to add an ing to it, but I don't understand it because it's also something else. I was so confused. And so she had to like read it to me like I'm a child over the phone. So
as like a verb ending in ing. That's what I mean.
I was just like, I don't know if it was because I wasn't catching on to what she was doing. I knew she was doing a Mad Lib, but I was like, I'm not getting it. I felt so dumb.
Also, if you like Mad Libs, you should download the adult Mad Libs app. Just to keep yourself busy. And they usually end up really dirty because they're...
adults?
Yeah, they're geared towards it. Yeah. So they encourage the dirtiness.
Okay.
The PG-13/G rated. All right. Let me get on to this. All right. Episode... Why am I reading that? I am doing the Oxford Hotel in Denver, Colorado, because I told my sister to sing the state song, and then I told her I would tell her to stop, and she stopped on Colorado, and so I was like, cool. So I found the Oxford Hotel in Denver.
Perfect. I love that.
All right, a little bit of history for you. In 1870, Denver, Colorado was merely just a small mining town until the arrival of major railroads. That's always how it begins for America. Yep. This, of course, was the beginning of a population explosion, making it the third largest city in the West and the 25th in the entire country. Pretty big deal. So by 1890, population had grown to 106,713. Exact numbers for you there. With all these people, Oxford Hotel was built by Frank E. Edbrook. It was a first-class hotel standing five stories tall near Union Station. Enduring struggles from the start, the hotel withstood a nationwide economic depression, only losing one of the partners who had a hand in the hotel. So it didn't really go through a lot of issues. Everywhere else did, but the hotel stood tall. It did good.
That's cool. Good
for them. The only thing they lost was like an investor. In the early 1900s, things began to look up for the hotel. The manager at the time, Calvin Morse, reported that the hotel hosted 35,000 guests a year and even often turned people away. Bringing in all this money, the owners added a 75,000 two-story addition behind the property. This addition was just the start of additions and updates. In 1906, new managers added a mezzanine, which is a floor between floors. So like picture like a mall, and then you have like the balcony where you walk on, like a loft.
Okay.
And a cafe. They added a barber shop, and they said like a barber shop entry. So I don't know. Like, are you going to have a barber shop and not a way to get in? That's smart. Anyway, they even
You just have to go through.
This is Harry Potter. Just run through the brick wall. they even added a five-story annex addition and a cocktail lounge, which is now known as the Cruise Room. The Cruise Room makes the hotel known for some pretty awesome martinis, apparently. During Prohibition, it operated as an illicit speakeasy, having secret tunnels and panels, which I love. I think that is so cool. But the Cruise Room officially opened the day after Prohibition ended. From what I gather, in other words, they had been open all this time. They were just running illegally until Prohibition stopped. And they're like, hey, guess what? We're open to the public. Blah, blah, blah. We can put ads in the newspaper now. We're not just word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
No, we're shy. You say there, buddy. During World War II, troops would often stay here, filling it up to max capacity. Even the service members' wives would set up shop here, serving hot coffee, donuts, and turkey sandwiches to the troops for 24 hours a day. In the 1960s and 70s, is when train transportation began to decline, which made business do so as well, because it was like right outside the train station. So it was like the first thing you'd see, like, oh, cool, there's a place I can stay right there.
Oh, I see.
Very smart with their planning. This led to the area of the hotel form into like a skid row type of thing, completely killing business. That is until serious renovations were made to make the hotel more modern, but leaving certain touches to still tie it back to its roots, like the carpets and chandeliers. And
I love that.
It was also made into a national landmark of historic places in Denver. So I got this story. I was really excited for it because I love the history of it. And it seemed like really clean. I don't know if that makes sense, but like, it seemed like very, like, all my information's right there on one link.
Yeah.
It was, but it wasn't a lot. So, Just wait. Okay. So I don't have a lot of juicy stuff into it. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
So, but in 1898, a woman named Florence Montague shot and killed her lover just before taking her own life in room 320. So apparently he was seeing someone behind her back and cheating on her, and she caught him and was like, click, clack, boom, mother. Yeah. I'm gonna kill you. she gave him a warning beforehand. She's like, hey, I'm gonna kill you, just so you know.
That it was nice of her.
Yeah,
it was great.
Yeah, it's he knew. there was consent, so, or at least notice. There was notice. Since then, guests, particularly single men, have reported feeling their arms being pulled by an unseen force and having the sheets ripped off of them in bed. Okay, so this is what my song is about. There is a long-term guest who often visits the bar. Guests and the bartenders have reported seeing a postal worker dressed in an old-timey uniform. The man evidently walks into the bar, orders a beer, and mutters, "The children, I had to get the gifts to the children." Then drinks down the beer and leaves, but when the bartender checks the bottle, it's always full. It's believed that this could be a postal worker from the 1930s who was set to deliver Christmas presents to the nearby city. The gifts never arrived, and when the winter snow melted in the spring, a decomposed body was found surrounded by all the gifts.
That's bananas.
That's sad. That's really sad.
Can you hold on a second?
You want me to,
you stop your, I want to show you this. This is what my AI just generated. Can you see it?
Whoa, is that a bartender?
It's a ghost. Is that
ghost a ghost bartender?
It's a ghost wearing a tinfoil hat.
In front of a bar.
Yeah.
And I was just talking about a bartender.
Well, I just asked, I typed in ghost at a bar wearing a tinfoil hat.
Oh, are we allowed to use those?
Why not?
I mean, I can make a meme with it to advertise the story. I love that.
It was taking, I kept looking at my phone because it wasn't like pulling up, and I was like, just open the stupid thing. Sorry, go ahead.
Wait, what are you using for that?
LimeWire.
Oh, wow, you're brave. Okay, so like I said, my story is pretty short. So,
okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Other guests have reported bathroom stalls locking by themselves, sinks turning on and off, toilets flushing on their own, items moving on their own, furniture being rearranged or moving positions, hearing unexplained noises, footsteps, and voices in the hall, including children. Laughing.
Nope, don't like it.
Shadowy figures have been seen lurking the corridors and vanishing. Lastly, the elevator has been known to have a mind of its own, stopping on random floors with no explanations. So, I couldn't find a lot of Yelp reviews. I found like two really small ones. So, better than nothing.
Those,
I do too. I know. That's why I always try hard to look for them. Thanks. So this one is from Another Path 2014. They said perfect and gave it 5 stars. There are reports of ghosts inhabiting the hotel, and one night our TV came on at 3 a.m. Dum dum dum. Maybe the ghost just wanted to watch TV.
Just at 3 a.m. He was 3 a.m. Like, y'all.
Courage the Cowardly Dog's on. What up?
More than likely.
That show was terrifying.
Or cat and dog. Cat dog.
Cat and dog. New world, new cat dog. Also, for those of you that are, you know, our generation, well, Amy's a teeny bit ahead of me because Amy's older.
I saw a meme about that earlier. I'm going to send it to you.
For those of you that watched Nickelodeon growing up, I just realized that all the old shows are on Paramount Plus, like Double Dare. Yo, the ones where like they had to like pull boogers or slime out of the nose to get the flags and stuff like that. Charlotte loves it because she loves watching like The Floor is Lava on Netflix. And I was like, yeah. Oh, snap, she would love this. And they have like trivia in it and stuff. She's loving it. She's like, oh, watch him dig up the nose, Mom. And I was like,
I remember seeing that one.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's great. Anyway, I was like, I was telling Josh, I was like, oh, are we going to see the stereotypical commercials like Airheads and like Capri Sun and Lunchables and the
fun.
Kool-Aid Man, Apple Jacks?
Or like the coolest toy.
Yeah. Or like the As Seen on TV toy. Remember those blow pen markers?
Yes, those were so cool.
We had
cool.
those.
Did you?
They were cool.
Wanted one.
Yeah, they were cool. They were messy. Okay, so last one. I only have one more left. It says, stayed there for 4 days, never slept. All right.
That's a long time to not sleep,
right? I was booked at the Oxford this week for a work conference. Arrived Tuesday evening, checked in, and was given my room key. Proceeded to unpack my toiletries, shower, then head to bed. A couple minutes after getting in bed, I heard a noise in my bathroom. I got up. And my hairbrush was on the floor. I then moved it to back on the counter, went to bed, and it was back on the floor a few hours later. Every time I walked into the bathroom, I got a bad feeling, goosebumps and full body chills to the point that I kept all the lamps and my TV on for 24 hours. Each night after going to bed, I kept waking up every 30 to 45 minutes to some sort of noise and just a very uneasy feeling all night. I flew back home this morning, and while picking up my baggage, my husband sent me an article about the murder-suicide in room 320 and that it's haunted by a woman ghost who prefers men guests, but I still felt her presence even though I never knew about it being haunted. My room was 320. I am still getting full body chills at home in Florida while I write this. And that was in 2023.
That's depressing.
I know. So as of today, you can visit or even stay at the beautiful Oxford Hotel in Denver. I do know it is on a stop to a historic like paranormal tour that the city does or something. It's not like the actual like the hotel doesn't provide it, but it is a stop there and they do tell stories about it. And maybe you can even go in and have a beer with a permanent resident at the cruise
and
bar.
If you do, leave a Yelp review. You know?
Yeah. And quit talking about the sinks, guys. This place is from like the 1800s. So get over it. Everybody on Yelp was like, oh my God, the water pressure here sucks. Oh my God. These sinks are so small. Like, are you living there? Are you planning on washing your dishes there? No, get over your life and shut up. Just go enjoy
You're
the
there,
city and
yeah.
enjoy the hotel. It's an
You're
old
there for
hotel.
Maybe 4 days.
I know there were so many Yelp reviews complaining about the sink size.
I'm glad because actually I base where I stay on the water pressure and the sink size. So I'm actually glad people talked about it.
I would want good water pressure if I'm staying at like a luxury place where I'm going to stay in the hotel the entire time, like at a spa. But if I'm there just for like the aesthetic or like the feeling of the old hotel, like I don't
or
give
the
a
price.
Shit. Or the price. I don't know if it's cheap. It's a nice hotel. It's very nice. But yeah, that is the Oxford Hotel in Denver. Late December, back in Denver.
Oh, I like that one. I wouldn't mind staying there when we go on our tour.
It seemed very harmless. So,
yeah. So I got this one. I think it was from BuzzFeed. I can't remember now. But it says, it's a letter. And it says, it has come to our attention to our residents of blank, 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 that the potted plants outside your porch are not real and are actually decorations. This will reflect extremely poorly to our houses and other constances in the area who have real plants who might wish to sell their home one day. and buyers running away when they saw your plants. Earlier this week, myself and 14 other neighbors, including the state environment official, have held a group meeting to discuss the appropriate action necessary to solve this issue. As of this writing, we have decided to grant you 2 days to remove the selected plants from your porch. If you choose not to correspond, there might be an official action taken that will include the police called to write a lawsuit or the flowery being removed and discarded of quite immediately. You must within 2 days minimum. Note, we chose to make this letter anonymous to protect our legal right and to grant you the same legal opportunities.
What?
First off, wow. I have a few things. Please do not write lawsuits. They said, include the police call to write a lawsuit. They don't write lawsuits. Secondly, unless it's like some HOA thing that says you can't have fake plants on your property, you can have fake plants on your property.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want. Who cares?
Yeah. My Grammy, you know, all of her potted plants, half of them are fake flowers. And let me tell you, you can't tell by the street, being on the street, that they're fake flowers.
Our tent, Miss Mickey, she had a bunch of fake ones.
Yeah.
All hers were fake.
I couldn't tell.
If they're not like super vibrant colors, then they look natural.
Yeah.
And you know, who cares if they are?
Who cares?
If it makes you happy, do whatever the hell you want. It's your house.
I'm so bad at keeping plants alive. I mean, now I'm better. They're house plants, but outside plants, don't ask me to keep those things alive.
Mm-mm.
That's what I'm going to do in my next house is plant fake flowers. I did it in Alaska because it was snow half the time and it was gross.
Yep. It's cold.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. So we're going to get, have you checked in on the neighbors?
What's with the neighbors?
Bree and Amy. Out.
And Amy out.
What's with the neighbors?
You so like froze during it.
Oh.
Meow. Don't get dead. I was like, nah.